I want to tell you about this next one that's upcoming. We are really blessed to be part of a larger family in this region being San Antonio up to Austin. And the amazing thing is God's been actually building relationships even up to Dallas and out to Lubbock and Abilene and whatnot. So we have a big region, but there's a specific group of pastors that have really been praying with for a while now. And coming up on the day before the National Day of Prayer, that Wednesday night, is they're having their fourth annual citywide prayer gathering up in San Marcos. And last year they had 400 people. This year they're expecting much more. And I want to just put a challenge out. We participate like in the mayor's prayer breakfast on the National Day of Prayer. But there's something about not just contending for your city, but contending for your region, and really treating other people. And this is a message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is: don't think more highly of yourself. Look outside of yourself and bring the kingdom around you, not just the kingdom to you. And so one of those things, a lot of times we have our own needs, and when we begin to serve others, we find that our own needs are actually met in that process. And I feel very strongly about this, is like with these group of guys, is that San Marcos is my city. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because I live in New Braunfels doesn't make San Marcos any less of the city and the territory God's given me to expand into in Austin and San Antonio and around the surrounding region. So Cindy knows it with our student life. What we're going to do is that night, we're inviting as many people that can go up there with us as possible. It's a free event starting at 7 o'clock. There's got worship and then time of specific prayer. And I think there's going to be a shift that takes place. And that's what I was talking with the guys a couple weeks ago about this. And they've experienced in San Marcos a shift with revival taking place because the city began to come together. Imagine what happens when cities come together and begin to contend together for the gospel of the kingdom of what's going to happen. And so I want you to challenge. This is not just something simple. I know it's driving up to San Marcos, but guys, it's 15 minutes. I mean, come on. It's at the Embassy Suites on the south part. It's got the address, so I encourage you participate in that. If you want to carpool, you certainly could email us and say, hey, is there anybody else that's going? And we could take a caravan of folks up there, and I think that'll be really important. And then finally, the last slide is going to be we updated the slide, so this is an older slide, but we had to do a little shifting. The devil tried to mess with our equipment this morning and said, whatever, we're going to keep going. So we pulled in another computer. But Papa Jack, I just got done spending Wednesday through last night. I got back yesterday with Papa Jack, who's my spiritual dad, and about 25 other of his spiritual sons. And this in fellowship together, talking about what the gospel of the kingdom of God means and what it looks like. And Papa's coming on May 5th, 6th, and 7th. And I want you to mark it down your calendars. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I believe in empowerment, very much so. But as much as if I have any authority in your life whatsoever or influence, what I would say is you must come. Like, you do not want to miss out on what God is going to do that Friday night at 7, Saturday it's going to be at 9 a.m., and then Mama Frida, Jack's wife, is going to be doing a 2 o'clock session with women only, because Mama Frida's amazing. You need to hear her story, and she's going to minister, and then 6 p.m. that night, and then, of course, he'll preach on Sunday morning. But also, his good friend Charles Karen is going to be with him as well, and I'm talking about these guys. Jack is 83. He'll be 84, I think, in August. Charles is 84, 85 years old, and they've got the spirit of Caleb on them. You know the story of Caleb? Whenever they came into the promised land, and Caleb was the old dude, but he had the most vigor and the most strength and the most bold faith, and he said, give me the toughest land in the promised land to take. That's going to be mine. And I look at Jack and Charles, that's what they're saying. Like, give me the toughest land. We're going after it. And they're raising up sons. And understand, when we say sons, in the kingdom of God, sons is gender neutral. Because through sonship, it says anybody that has the spirit of God has become a son of God. So ladies, that means that you're a son if you carry the spirit of God inside of you. Dudes, we're the bride of Christ, so figure that one out, okay? So you got to get in touch with your femininity side. But the point of the matter is that there's something being raised up, this father-son paradigm that releases inheritance to the generations. And I want you to hear that. This region that we stand in, and Chris, I'll probably just keep going from here. I know. You got one more thing? I'm going to start preaching right now. I was realizing I asked him to do an announcement. Would y'all just thank Chris? Chris is amazing. one of the ways I'm able to do what I'm supposed to do is because he does all the things that drive me crazy. In administration and things like that, I was like, oh, man. But I could preach 100 times a day, and he takes care of administration, and we are blessed. I mean, and if you're just new to our family, you don't understand how blessed we are. But there's this idea of what God is doing in the region. And it goes back to what took place 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating Easter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most, well, I was going to say, it is one of the most significant events in human history. And I used to think, well, it's the most significant. Actually, that's not true. Jesus says you'll do greater things. So a singular event has led to greater things. So every time somebody experiences the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it takes what happened with him and it magnifies it, it grows it even greater than just the singular event of him being resurrected from the dead. But we must not miss what God is wanting to do. And there's this message that Jesus Christ preached in the gospel. We use this word gospel. It's a churchy word. But it means good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that we preach is, yes, that Jesus came, he died for your sins, and that if you will surrender to him, you will receive the death of Jesus as your own death to your sin, and that when you are risen again with him through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That's the gospel of the atonement. And it's certainly good news. The good news that Jesus saves is good news. Amen? But it's not the message that Jesus preached. What was the message that Jesus preached? The kingdom of God is at hand. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ opened the door in the right for us who become sons and daughters of God to enter into the kingdom, and the kingdom enter into you. Before you meet Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the kingdom is all around you, but it's not within you, and there's not lasting transformation. You can do change. We talk a lot about this in our churches, that we're not looking for change for the sake of change. I walked in here and I changed into this jacket, and I could change right out of this jacket. But when you encounter transformation, you go back to great, it's the word metamorphosis. A butterfly cannot become the caterpillar ever again. It has been transformed into a new creation. Now, is there elements of the original? Yes, but it's a new creation. And in the same way, when you encounter Jesus Christ, there's this transformation that takes place, that you're a brand new breed. It says you're the firstborn among new creations. That's who Jesus was. He's our elder brother. He's the one that went before so that we might be transformed. And so this message of the kingdom of God is so incredibly important. I wrestled over with the message for today because I went back to God, I've preached this 1,000 times. And he goes, yeah, but it is everything. Well, can I go talk about this? He goes, no. You've got to talk about the one thing, because the one thing leads to everything. Do you hear what I'm saying? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. What's righteousness? The righteousness of God in right relationship with you. When I seek that above all else, what is given to me, it says all these things. And the preceding verse talks about don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. All these cares and concerns of the world are valid to the Father. And I want you to hear me. You probably walked in this morning with a valid need. Like if God doesn't show up, if there's not a miracle, then something, breakthrough's not taking place. You have a valid need. There's some financial needs in this place. There's some emotional needs in this place. There's some addiction and freedom and bondage issues needs to be broken in this place this morning. But I want you to hear me. If you focus on the thing that you need, your whole life, your whole mindset is going to organize around the problem. And let me say this. We have some creative solutions to problems. And they're very good. They're very functional. We do classes and discipleship and 12-step programs, and we walk through it. And those are very, very good. They're needed. However, if you make that the solution of the program, your main focus, your life will organize itself around that. and you'll miss the one thing. The one thing is this: the King and his kingdom has come. Why do we look for a kingdom? There's a king that has dominion over everything that he sees. Like, do you know that God rules over everything? There's this debate that goes back, well, is he in control of everything? Well, he can control everything. He chooses actually to empower and give people choices. But he rules everything. It says, many of the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. Why? Because he rules. There's never been a time in all of eternity that he has not ruled. He's never been in need of anything because he is full and complete in himself. He rules. And so when we talk about this one thing, we say, well, what about the doctrine of baptism? And what about the doctrine of the infilling of the Holy Spirit? And what about the teaching of this? And what about healing and all this? Those are things that are all great. They're all part of the kingdom, but they're not the kingdom. They're in the kingdom. They're not the kingdom. The kingdom is the dominion of Jesus Christ over all of creation. And it's so simple that it feels wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like God should be complex. And certainly, who has the mind? I mean, like he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Like, if you think in your brain, in your human brain, that you're going to comprehend the vastness and the greatness of God, you're sorely mistaken. I don't remember what philosopher it says, but he said, God is something that which nothing greater can be thought. God is something greater than which nothing greater can be thought. The moment that you think you've thought about and you've put your mind and grasped who God is and defined God, at that moment you've missed him because he's greater than that. And so there's this thing that says it should be complex because God is complex and how can I understand it? But he gives us a simple message. Jesus says, go lay hands on the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. When you cast out a demon and the person's going, whoa, what was that? What happened? And where I'm at? And the kingdom of God has come near you. The dominion, the rule, and the reign of the righteous creator has come upon you. And that is not an insignificant thing. Why do we celebrate Easter, the resurrection? It is finished, gave us access to the kingdom to be within us. Up to that point, the kingdom would come on a few people. You would see healings and pockets of prophecy and things that would take place. But there wasn't a people who were consumed by the kingdom. Consumed by the kingdom. It's not something you're going to apprehend. Papa Jack said it this way. He said, the kingdom of God is not so much taught as it is caught. Like if you could jot down a few points and say, okay, the kingdom of God is this, this, and this, you're using some descriptive terms that you can say, yeah, the kingdom just came. But it's greater than that. You have to catch this vision. And as you pursue him above all else, I mean, above anything else, above your spouse, above your kids, above your job, above the desires that you have, above your gifts and your talents, even above healing and restoration and restitution. And maybe you've went through a situation in life and you experienced traumatic events at the hands of somebody else, and it's left a deep imprint on your life. And the experience of you being you has been very frustrating, very dark, ups and downs and peaks and valleys, but never feeling like you can just find a peace. You have to be willing to even let that go for the sake of the one thing, and that's Jesus. Like, Jesus, I come to you, and I have no other need other than to be known by you and to know you. I'm going to die to myself. Now, in the result, in that process, remember what the verse said, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added to you. What does all mean? So is there anything that escapes all? No. It's a simple message. But why do we live our lives as if something escaped the all? God, you can't cover this and you can't take care of this. I'll just tell you the story of why I'm in ministry started, he brought me into it over 12 years ago. In terms of full-time vocational ministry. I've been ministering before that. But I had a hard time trusting God financially to provide. And I said, God, I will give my life to you. I'll give every area of my life. I will seek you and the kingdom in all these areas except my finances, because as a man, I'm supposed to provide for my family, and that means I'm going to have to work really hard. I'm pretty smart. I've got some ideas. I'm an entrepreneur. You gave me the gift of entrepreneurship. Let me go into that. And I had this strange dichotomy where about 90% of my life was underneath the kingdom influence, and there was blessings that took place. But there's this other part, this 10%, where I said, God, I can't take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. You can't take care of it. And I wasn't seeking the kingdom above all else. And you know what the experience of my life was? We'd always come to the top of the mountain and go, all right, we're about to get over the hump. And on the other side is the valley of blessings. It'll be all downhill, and blessings will come, and financial success, all those things. And I literally lost count the number of times that I got to that peak, and it felt like the energy of going up the hill stopped, and my wagon started rolling backwards and downhill. I grew up over in Smithson Valley area, and we had this huge hill that was at least a quarter of a mile long down, and it was fairly steep. And my friends and I would grab our wagons, and we'd go to the top of the hill and jump in and go and ride that sucker all the way down. And sometimes we made it, and sometimes we didn't, right? When you try to do it your way, that's exactly what it's like. Like you're trying to make your own path, and you're going to get to the top of that hill. And there's this moment that took place that in the eyes, specifically in the eyes of Kelly and I, because we were going through it, and really I would say in the eyes of the world, we experienced the death of a child. And in that moment, I came to the end of myself. And I remember God asking me, am I really who I say I am? I've been allowing you to go off and do your thing, and I've blessed you, and good things are happening, but are you done being in control and in charge of your life? Are you ready to begin to seek the kingdom in this area of your life? And in that process, I began to surrender that area of my life to the King. And he's blessed us ever since. And there's still moments and things like that where you're praying for provision. But let me tell you this. I haven't had to worry about it because I sought first the kingdom of God. And you know what's been added to me? Greater than financial provision. My marriage is better. My relationship with my kids is better. I missed the first year of my oldest daughter's life. Why? Because I was working 100 to 120 hours a week trying to build my kingdom. Build my kingdom. My dreams. And it was only when I came to that moment and said, it cannot be my kingdom. And I realized the King does not share his throne. Now, he invites you to sit with him on the throne, but he does not share it. He doesn't give it away. And it's when you learn to lose your life for his sake that you actually find it. But if you continue to try to find your life, do your way, you're going to lose it. So what's the message of Easter? The message of Easter is anyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who becomes born again, is born again not into just eternal life. You don't just get fire insurance. But on the earth, as you live, you get to partner with the King of heaven in bringing heaven into earth. He says, as I've done, do these things. This is what Jesus said. Let me give you a few verses and we'll make this legal. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says this, to them also Jesus showed himself alive after his passion or his suffering in the garden and on the cross by a series of many convincing demonstrations or unquestionable evidences and infallible proofs that he was alive, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about what? The gospel of atonement? No. About the kingdom of God. So here's Jesus Christ. He is just resurrected from the dead. He's appearing to his disciples, and over a period of 40 days, he begins to appear not just to the 12. In fact, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians where it says he appeared to 500 people all at once. I mean, it's kind of hard to deny the resurrected Christ when you've got 500 people that are seeing him all at once. And he appeared to multiple people. And I'm just going to tell you what I think he was also doing. You remember the man who was the demoniac, and he had a legion of demons? And he wanted to get in the boat to go back with Jesus. And Jesus says, no, no, no. Go tell people the good things that God has done with you, for you. And 10 cities were saved. You know what I believe? I believe Jesus appeared to him in that 40 days and said, this is why you couldn't go with me. I had to go take care of something else. Now, preach the gospel of the kingdom of God everywhere you go. And 10 cities were saved. Somebody asked me the other day, well, why are you concerned? Why don't you just concern with your own backyard? Well, because God hasn't assigned me my own backyard. He's assigned me a region. He said, the nations are yours if you ask them for it. And that's what burns inside of my heart. And I look at this man who if you look at the story, he didn't have any seminary degree. He didn't have any training other than for a number of years, he had a legion of demons, lived inside of him. He was naked, lived in tombs, scared the bejesus out of people, right? And in this moment, he meets Jesus. Maybe bejesus is actually the name of a demon. I don't know. Anyway, but he meets Jesus. And in the moment, he's so overcome, like the entirety of his life, he's cutting himself. They put chains on him, and the chains cannot hold him. He's out of his mind. He's naked. And in a moment, Jesus steps onto the foot of his shore. And in that moment, the man, not the demons, the man all of a sudden realizes this moment. And he runs to the feet of Jesus, and he submits to him. What happened? The kingdom of God came because the king, the one with all dominion, stepped foot on that shore and something resonated in the atmosphere. Something resonated in the dirt of the ground. And in that moment, a man who had more demons than anyone in the history of the world, suddenly in that moment runs before him and surrenders and submits. And it's in that moment that Jesus talks to the demons and tells them to go. Totally set him free. Why? Because the kingdom of God has come near you. So I want to ask you this question. I believe that in the resurrected Christ, Jesus, that he wants to step foot on your shore. I think he wants to step into your marriage. I think he wants to step into your family life. I think he wants to step into your businesses. He doesn't want you just, he gave you the gift of being an entrepreneur for a reason, because he wants a kingdom business. And if you'll allow him to be the king of your business in the dominion of Jesus, the success will come in ways that you can't possibly imagine. And the success you will gain will not be what satisfies you. What will be satisfying to you is that you have this relationship with the king because you sought him first. I think the king wants to step into our schools, into our government. And I mean, we can go through the list and the litany, but the point is, where are you at? Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? Say it. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? This is not a message for you just to hear in a corporate gathering. This is for you personally. If there was one person here, guess what message I would be preaching? This message. What's Holy Spirit saying to you? Because the king and the kingdom is wanting to step onto your shore. Are you going to invite him in and seek him above all else? Because I can promise you, it's the promise of Scripture. That when you do that, the things that you need, not just want, the things that you need will be added to you. That number add is actually very interesting. It means increasing measure. It's not just, okay, 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 2 = 4 and I stop there and that's the end of the mathematical equation. It says what it's talking about will be added to you in increasing measure. Like the tense of that word is talking about is a continuation of one thing to happen. So if you surrender and submit over to him, I believe the Lord wants to bring life to you in a way that you never thought was possible. But it's why the kingdom of God is at hand and he wants to do something through your life. It says Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So the message of atonement is a message that Jesus purchased you so you could be transferred from one kingdom into the next. I'll read you this quote from Bill Johnson. It's in the foreword of Papa Jack's new book, but it says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God ushers in the realm of his rule on earth as it is in heaven, and everything dramatically changes in the environment of his reign. So here's what I want to ask you. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, talking about the devil. It means the only way, the only time that the devil's going to show up on your doorstep is not to bring you good news or to check in and see how you're doing. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to utterly bring destruction to you because he's the king of the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus says, I've come to bring you life and life in abundance, more abundant life. And so this message of the kingdom of God, what I'm beginning to unpack in my own life is, even in the way that I practically live in my own house, has to come down into, am I having the influence of the kingdom? Is my life experiencing the abundance that Jesus promised me? Because Jesus says, I came to give you life. Now let me ask you a question. Does Jesus ever give you a gift that he changes his mind about and takes it back? No. The scripture actually says the gifts of God are irrevocable or they're without repentance. He's not going to change his mind when he gives you a gift. And so the thing is that Jesus doesn't want to just give you the gift of salvation where you have fire insurance and you know that you've got 80 years to live and 80 years from now when you die your last breath, you're getting to heaven. That is certainly a good message. And it certainly, I was talking to somebody who led somebody to the Lord on their deathbed. That was a good message to hear at the last second. Because he was transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And within minutes, breathed his last breath and breathed his first breath into eternity. So I'm not denigrating the gospel of the atonement. But I want you, don't get stuck on the shore of the gospel of atonement. I've used this message before. But it's when Joshua leads Israel to possess the promised land. And there's this moment where there's this boundary and this barrier of the Jordan River. And the previous generation became afraid of what was in the land. They put their eyes on the one who steals, kills, and destroys. And they lost their inheritance because they became afraid. And they could not apprehend the promised land. And I want to propose to you that that is also a type and shadow for the kingdom of God. And so when you stand on this shore, you have to apprehend it. You have to enter into your promised land or enter into the kingdom of God. And imagine as Joshua and Israel enters over into this promised land. And they've got acres and acres and acres of land to possess. It is theirs. Did you hear me? It wasn't something they had to go work for. They had to actually fight for in terms of like legal right or authority. It was already settled in the court of heaven that this piece of dirt belonged to the people of God. It was theirs. It didn't matter if somebody says, no, this is my land. No, this land legally in heaven belongs to me. And so they look at this land, and there's mountains over here, and there's rivers over here, and there's this abundance before them, this opportunity. And imagine if they'd stopped on the shores of the Jordan River and said, I'm satisfied. We've entered into the promised land, but that's enough. And too much of my Christian life was lived sitting on the shore of the Jordan River. Until I began to hear the message of the kingdom that says, there's more. Are you willing to? And we were, when I was with Papa Jack, we were up in Mineral Wells, and there's this beautiful ranch, 350 acres, and it's up on this bluff where the Brazos River is down below. And I took this picture. It was very breathtaking. And as long as I've lived in Texas, and I actually went to Texas A&M, so I was near the Brazos River, it never dawned on me until somebody told me, did you know that the Brazos de Dios is the arms or embrace of God? The arms or embrace of God. But I was talking to the owner of the land, and it really, this illustration came back to mind. Imagine if when he bought that land and he stood on this bluff and he could see 350 acres and he could see the river valley over here. He could see the hogs where they were coming up to do it. He could see the exotics and the deer over here. And a friend of his comes up and says, hey, man, says, tell me about what's it like over there. Well, I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? You own it, right? Yeah, but I've just never made it down that way. okay. Well, what over there? It looks like there's really good hunting over there. Have you gone? What type of animals have you caught? Well, I've observed them from afar, but I've never been there. Well, aren't they legally yours? Yeah, but I just haven't made it my way over there. How silly and foolish would that be? What's the benefit of having all that land if all you're going to do is occupy this? 1 square foot. I'm standing right here. I've got more, but I'm only going to occupy this. What I want to encourage you on, and what I hope you catch this morning, this is why this is not about teaching. This is about you catching a vision for the kingdom of God in such a way that it will consume your life from this moment on, that it transforms everything, the way you think, the way you live, the way you breathe, the way you go to work, the way you operate in your marriage, your relationships. It should transform you. Like, there should be a radical transformation that takes place, just as much as the radical transformation of Peter, who every other day was putting his foot in his mouth. And on the day of Pentecost, he's preaching and 3,000 people were saved. I mean, that's a radical transformation. Just as much as a radical transformation as Saul, who's persecuting and killing the people of God. And in a moment on the road to Damascus, he has this vision where he encounters Jesus Christ in his kingdom. You know what he encountered? The kingdom of God knocked him off his high horse. And blind, I think in that moment, it wasn't that he was naturally blind, he was. But I think in that moment, he realized just how spiritually blind he was. It wasn't just the blindness of natural eyes. There was a spiritual blindness. And when Ananias comes to him with this message that Jesus is going to heal him, it was in that moment, he didn't just get his natural eyesight back. He got his spiritual eyesight, and he finally saw clearly. Radical transformation. Why are you no different? You don't have to be a Paul. You don't have to be a Peter. You don't have to be an Esther. You don't have to be a Ruth. And I love the stories and testimonies of God's people. You don't have to be a David. You don't have to be a Solomon to experience the goodness of God. You don't have to be a Peter, James, and John. Who are you? Who has God made you to be? And what territory is he calling you out into? This is what I'm telling you. There is a promised land that is so big out there before you that if you will seek first the king and his dominion over your life, you will then experience the ability to take the dominion over the land that he gave you. I think you missed that. If you will allow Jesus, the King of the universe, to take dominion over your life, in the exchange of that, you're going to find the ability to take dominion over the promised land that he's calling you to walk into. Those areas you've been bumping up against to and you haven't quite been able to get over, you're going to experience the dominion, the authority to get over on the other side. You're going to experience the Ephesians 3:20 that he will do infinitely more. Let me hear you say infinitely. Infinite means it doesn't end. Hello? Infinitely more than you might what? Ask, think, or imagine. Imagine. As far as you can dream with God, and he says that's too small. Why? Because there is no limits in the kingdom of God. There are good boundaries. God is a good king and he disciplines his children. But there is no limits to what is possible to a person, a man or a woman, who submits and surrenders to the dominion or the lordship of Jesus Christ first. And then all, let me say all, these things will be added to you. So where are you standing on the river? Or maybe, and I dare say, I believe this is probably true, there's some folks in here, you've ventured out into the promised land. And you've made it some distance into the promised land, but you set up camp. And you believed a lie that said, this is all that God wants to give me. Yeah, I can see there's further on, but that's going to require me to get uncomfortable again. I've got my house. I've got my comfort level. I'm settled with where I'm at. And God's going, there's more. Have you built your kingdom in the kingdom? Have you built your own way in the kingdom, in the promised land? And the king's going, it's time to tear down your kingdom. You've made some progress. But it's time to pick up stakes and, like Abraham, go to a land that I will point you to. Are you willing to lay it all on the line once again? because I don't think this is a room full of people who are just at the beginning stages of your walk. I really do feel and sense that God is gathering together a group of people who've got some experience in the kingdom of God. You're seasoned. But there's more. Don't become satisfied with what you've experienced. I was thinking of a brother and a sister that are in here that are in the process of going through training to plant a church in France. That's taking the kingdom. It requires you to be uncomfortable, to go to a land that doesn't belong to you. Emma's going to tell you, everything you need has already been established. Like, there's doors opening up, the ability to speak French and all the slang and everything goes along with it. There will be no good thing lacking as you step into it. The land's already yours. Now enjoy the process of seeking the kingdom in these next several months and next year or so. God's got something for you, y'all. Does anybody feel it, sense it in the air? Like, you feel like there's something in the air that's got to change, or that it is changing. Am I the only one? Tell me if you are. Something is happening. It's not just an isolated thing. And let me say this. This is not about a localized church. I'm glad you're here. I love Legacy Church. I love being the papa of this house. I love it. It's amazing. But this is not about my house or the house of this place. This is about the kingdom. The Lord's challenging me, saying, are you willing to lay down this for the sake of that? Do you hear what I'm saying? We've got to step beyond our boundaries. There's a verse that says the kingdom of God is taken by force, by violence. There's lots of stuff on that, but let me give you a simple way to look at it. It means you have to be intentional in it. Like, it's there for the taking, but you have to step into it by using an act of your will to surrender and submit to him. And it's going to feel hard or violent sometimes for you to let go of your own kingdom. Like, it's like, man, do I really want to do that? I mean, it takes you go through some turmoil when you're giving up your kingdom for the sake of the kingdom. But once you do it, you take it by force, which is really, I think, you're forcing out your own kingdom and allowing him. And then as you try to go apprehend the kingdom apprehends you. Do you hear what I'm saying? So why don't you get to your feet real quick. And then what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate communion. And I really felt that we were supposed to activate you into the experience of communion. We usually take it here at Legacy the third Sunday of the month, so it was a good time. But I want you to hear me on this. When Jesus broke the bread at the Last Supper, and he says, this is my body which will be broken for you. And he says, and this is my blood. It's the sign of the new covenant. Drink it. I preached last week saying, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part in me. You can have no part in the kingdom. It means you got to give up everything. And here's the thing about communion. When you take a bite of something and you swallow it, you've just then committed yourself to the effects of what you ate. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, there's no getting it back. I get, you can pump stomach. No. If you drank poison, there's no getting it back. It's you've committed yourself to it. And I want you, as we are celebrating communion, and I want you to ask yourself, am I experiencing the abundance of life of Jesus Christ? And if you're not, that's not a shame thing. That's not a lack thing. Don't ever look at that like an orphan. But do look at it as a son that says, there's more. It's time I stop sitting on my tail and just kind of let life pass me by, but I need to engage with him. Like, I need to get into it, and I need to make a commitment. Like, when Jesus said it, and he says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, they think he's talking about cannibalism. And a whole crowd of people walk away, and he didn't go, hey, wait, I meant this. He didn't say that. But he's looking for people who are willing to move all in. He's not looking for a movement. He's not looking for an organization. He's looking for a family who is willing to be all in with their father and do whatever he says to do and say whatever he says to say. So as you're taking communion this morning, this is the challenge I have for you, is I want you to take it as if you're eating the flesh of Jesus. Sounds kind of creepy, okay? But go, in the kingdom, what you're doing is you're committing yourself to not being a half-hearted Christian. You're committing yourself like, I'm not going to put it one side of my mouth, kind of chew it on a bit, and nobody's looking, spit it out. I'm not looking for that. If you're not ready for this, don't take communion. Seriously, don't take it in an unright manner. This is not about manipulation, but this is an invitation for encounter with him. Now, I grew up Catholic, and I bless my roots because I had a lot of different experiences. And going into the theology, Catholics believe that the communion actually turns into the literal body and blood of Jesus. I'm not looking for a theological argument, and I'm not even advocating that. But I do want to propose to you that I think that they're onto something about taking this not as a religious act, but as an encounter with Jesus. Like, as I take this bread and I drink this cup, it says, do this in remembrance of me. You can do a lot of different things in remembrance. Like, oh, you remember when so-and-so used to do this? I went to a funeral recently. It was probably one of the funnest and funniest memorial services I've ever been to, because this a cousin in Kelly's family, Eddie, had lived a number of years, and all his buddies for 40 years are telling all these stories. We're laughing and cracking up, but we're telling stories to remember kind of the good times. That's not what Jesus is looking for. He says, when you take this communion, do this in remembrance of me. Remember the price I paid for you. That it's not a one-time event, but that it's an ever-folding event, unfolding event. Like, it's an ongoing thing that's taking place. Like, when I eat of this flesh, I'm recognizing he was broken for me. But I also begin to realize, what do I have access to because of that? Healing? Wholeness? Right? Restoration? Man, give me some more. When I drink his blood, what am I doing? Like, I've been washed completely clean from the inside out. Right? When you eat something, it goes in first before it comes out. It's about the inside-out transformation that he's looking for. And so I want you to take a moment. We're just going to worship. We've got some times. Your kids are watching an Easter movie, and they're going to have a time of encounter out there. So don't feel like you've got to rush out the door. We've got plenty of time. But I want you, when you feel, our ushers are going to let you come up here, but if you've got to stand here and pause for a moment, stand here for a second. Now, if you're here for 5 minutes, we're going to carry you along. We'll ask you to have your encounter in the seat, okay? Seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added to you. So let's pray. I want to pray over you before we go into this. So put your hands out just to receive something. Lord, this is a sign of surrender. This is a sign of surrender, Lord, where we're saying, not only are we ready to receive something, but we're ready to give up everything for the sake of the kingdom. And in this moment, God, let this not be just a religious thing that takes place. When we receive your body and we receive your blood, let it not be a remembrance of something that happened 2,000 years ago that has no visible impact today. But instead, Lord God, as we eat your flesh and we drink your blood, that in that encounter, the visible transformation from the inside out will be evident to all. That, Lord God, that a radical shift on the inside out, the way that we think, the way that we live, the way that we breathe, the way that we go to school, the way we do relationships, the way we do business, the way that we even pray, the way we do church, it would be completely, radically transformed by the kingdom of God encounter. We make one declaration this morning. We seek your kingdom above all else. So may your kingdom come. May your will be done now, not later, now, as is in heaven, here on the earth, now. Lord, I expect, because it's what you told me to say, I have a reasonable expectation that as we eat this communion today, that medical issues that have been going on for years are in a moment going to encounter the kingdom of God, and you're going to be healed. that in a moment, marriages and relationships, this distance, this brokenness that has been there, that as we're seeking your kingdom, Lord God, first, that in a moment there's restoration that's going to be released, that, Lord, there's going to be angels that are going out to those who have walked away from us, maybe wayward children or even a wayward, I keep hearing wayward spouse, like somebody who's drifted. And in a moment, there's going to be a restoration in the heart of that person. And you're going to receive a restoration. Lord, in this moment, we believe that you will do infinitely more than we might ask, think, or imagine. Let us dream with the mind of Christ for the things that are impossible so that we might see it practically today. And we finish what it says, for yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I'll give you one more invitation. In the course of this message, if you would say, I need to make Jesus Christ my King. I've never done that. If that's you right now, would you just raise your hand real quick? Okay. Praise God. So here's what's going to happen. Cindy's going to lead us in some worship. Our ushers are going to release you to come forward. We will start in these middle sections first, and then we'll come to the wings afterwards. And then I'll come up and close this up after this time of encounter. Also, just so y'all know, Kelly and Linda are going to stand up here and they're going to bless you guys as you come up. They want to release. They felt like the Lord said to cover you and impart. So when somebody's touching you, just know that that's what's happening. A word corporately, although this may make sense individually. I feel like the Lord has been challenging some of us to apprehend the promises of God. Specific phrasing I heard was apprehend the promises of God and declare them everywhere you go. What we've just talked about this morning was apprehending the kingdom of God and releasing it everywhere you go. And in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says this, I charge you, Timothy, according to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and his appearance and his kingdom, to preach the message everywhere you go. It says, be an official messenger. And I feel like there's a release right now in this place over your life. So I'm just going to second, if you feel like you want to receive an impartation for going forth, just go and put your hands out. I'm trying to get the right words for it. But as a father in the faith and the father of this house, I charge you, according to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to his appearance, and according to his kingdom, I charge you to be a messenger of the kingdom of God. That everywhere you go, whether it feels like it's a favorable time or not, be ready to declare the kingdom of God. That everywhere you go over your own life, your own finances, your own thoughts, you're going to preach the kingdom of God and declare the kingdom of God. When you go to school, when you go to work, when you go to a family dinner this afternoon, you are to declare the kingdom of God. And you don't have to be weird about it. But demonstrate the kingdom. Declare it wherever you go. And what I hear the Lord saying is the measure of boldness that you have in your declaration, which means it's not just an inward thought process, but you must open your mouth and out loud declare the promises of God. The measure that you do that in bold and faith will also be the measure that things will be added to you. Like there's a special anointing for that, for those who are the heralds, the messengers of the kingdom of God, there's going to be extra grace, extra favor. Everything that you need is going to be added onto you. And he will do infinitely more than you might ask, think, or imagine. But press into it. And as a messenger of Jesus Christ, here's what I kept hearing him say. Stop putting your attention and focus on the things of the world, like the news, the bad news, good news. What's ISIS doing? What's North Korea doing? What's Trump doing? What's this doing? Whatever. Stop using the words that he's giving you to repeat the message or the news of the world, but instead, everywhere you go, you might encounter somebody who's walking in fear because what's going to happen with the Russians. And in that moment, you get to declare the gospel of the kingdom, peace. You hear me? Over your finances, and there's going to be a real need that you have. You're saying there's too much bills and not enough money. And I don't want you to get caught up into there's too much lack. And instead, declare there's more than enough in his kingdom. Those who have walked away from the faith in your life, don't tell the stories about the prodigal, but instead just declare over them, wherever they're at, the kingdom of God is at hand. Sow the atmosphere over them with faith and hope. Become a prisoner of hope and declare it in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you have been doing this morning. And I anticipate the ripple effect, like the butterfly effect of what you've done this morning. There won't be enough books to write about it. Like there's a shifting that's going on. And so once again, we seek you first above all else. We say, have your way over every person, every child, teenager, and adult. And we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we declare this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Give him a shout of praise. Come on. So to all the visitors who are here, thank you for joining us. We're just really blessed by you being with us. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to maybe this be a place for you to get connected into family and relationship. All you legacy peeps, I love you. Have a great, great Easter and go have fun today.